Foundation regulator. Is the South African Human Rights Commission here? Okay, thank you very much. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, my name is Lebogang Strom Nzama. I'm the full-time member of the Information Regulator. I've chaired on behalf of the regulator by the direction of the Chairperson, Ms. Tlakula. She was supposed to be here with me today. She broke her arm, so she was in hospital. So she was recovering from surgery. So she said, I must just tender her apologies.
We wish a speedy recovery.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll convey you.
15 minutes.
I won't be long. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We as the information regulator, we welcome the coming into effect of the bill. However, we do have some comments that we have provided to the committee. My apologies, I didn't bring a slide in presentation due to time constraints. We are aware that the bill seeks to amend PAIA so as to provide for information on private funding of political parties and independent candidates to be recorded, preserved, and made available. Our issue is one that the issue of political parties was never dealt with in both the Western Cape Court decision and the Constitutional Court. What the judge, however, highlighted, as far as political parties are concerned, he raised an issue that I'm quoting paragraph 65 of the judgment: political parties are neither created by legislation nor required by any legislation to be juristic persons, but they can, in terms of their constitution, clothe themselves with juristic personality, including the capacity to sue or to be sued. In all probabilities, most political parties are juristic persons. PAIA therefore applies to them. However, since there is no law that requires political parties to be juristic persons, a real possibility does exist that some have deliberately not provided for their legal personality in the constitution. That this probably applies to a small number is neither here nor there, because most of them, I think, will be covered under juristic persons. Then the judge proceeded to say it is an absolute necessity that all, not some, political parties be required to record, preserve, disclose information on their private funding. After all, any of them has the possibility to be elected into power, aided by private funders. For these reasons, to the extent that PAIA does not cover those political parties that are not juristic persons, it is a constitutional deficiency, unquote. Now, our submission as the information regulator, we have the view that the bill complies with the decision of the Constitutional Court to the extent that it addresses the narrow issue that was before the court, namely the inclusion of the recorder, preservation, and reasonable disclosure of information on private funding of political parties and independent candidates. We feel that the purposeful interpretation of the decision of the Concord is that PAIA in its entirety should be applicable to political parties and independent candidates. In order for PAIA to apply holistically to political parties, over and above what the bill states as far as the inclusion of the recorder, preservation, reasonable disclosure of information on private funding of political parties and independent candidates, that the definition of private bodies in PAIA be amended to extend to include political parties. So when you look at the Act, private bodies means natural person, a partnership, or any juristic person. And there's a gaping hole there because some political parties are not juristic person. So the definition of political parties should be included in the definition of private bodies. And we also of the view that the definition of head in PAIA, in section 1 of PAIA, must also be expanded to include a head of a political party and independent candidates. I think in that respect we'll be able to cover everybody in terms of PAIA, because at this point in time, if somebody can make a request, a prior request from regarding political parties, it cannot go. It means now prior is continuing to still fail us, as there were a lot of gaping holes in the act. That is our submission. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That is the presentation from the information regulator. Honorable members, are there any questions or comments? Honorable Horn?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I want to ask a question on something that's not been included in the presentation. Ultimately, the information regulator will be the, let's say, the enforcement agency of one day, hopefully soon. So I wanted a comment from the information regulator as to how they foresee, as the bill stands now, what enforcement measures will be to their availability. So one other presentation has made mention that we should possibly look into amending the specific clause towards the end of PAHIA dealing with offences as well. But I want comment from the information regulator as to, as the bill stands now, what powers of enforcement will they enjoy, or let's say, policing agency.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Hon.
Any other questions before we hand over? None.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Hon. As you might be aware, the information regulator has a dual mandate. It will be the custodian of both the PAHIA, the Promotion of Access to Information Act, and the POPIA, the Protection of Personal Information Act. Now, when POPIA was drafted, it was drafted with PAHIA in mind. Hence, if you look at PAHIA, it will be amended. There are certain sections that are in PAHIA that are not enforced now, pending POPIA being fully enforced, because not all the sections in POPIA are operational. So once POPIA is promulgated, the President promulgates the remaining section of POPIA, it will have an impact on PAHIA. And to come to your question, because most of the people are saying PAHIA is not working, there are no enforcement mechanisms, because it will be married with POPIA in terms of enforcement, there will be an enforcement committee within the regulator that before you can even approach court, there are internal remedies. We are trying to make it very easy for lay people to access the information regulator. So for now, PAHIA as it stands, it doesn't have enforcement mechanism, but once POPIA comes into effect, it will amend certain section in PAHIA. I hope that answers the question.
I think it's clear. Thank you very much. Ma'am, if you want to stay, you can stay. Over to your Human Rights Commission.
Good morning.
10 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Chair and members of the committee. I'm here on behalf of the South African Human Rights Commission. I'm Fadla Adams. I head up the Parliamentary and International Affairs Program and, in effect, the PLO for the Commission. I extend apologies on behalf of our chairperson as well. He's actually launching our land report as well as meeting with the UN Special Rapporteur on Albinism. So he was unable to be here today. But we are represented by our Deputy Information Officer, Dr. Chanel van der Berg, to my left, who's also, incidentally, the senior researcher for our equality program. We have submitted a written submission during August, and our oral submission today obviously dovetails with that submission. So we thank the committee for the opportunity to present, and also remind the committee that we are tabling our PAHIA report, or rather, in terms of the legislation, the PAHIA report by the end of this month, 30th of September. And, of course, we're in the process of the handover to our sister organization, the Information Regulator. They're already in the same building as us at head office. But I hand over to Dr. van der Berg to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much on behalf of the Human Rights Commission for this invitation to make oral submissions. So the Human Rights Commission has been administering and implementing PAHIA as custodian of PAHIA for almost two decades. And we continue to observe in your annual reports to Parliament that most members of the public struggle to access information, whether that information is held by public bodies or by private bodies. And even when we talk about private bodies, we see a huge power imbalance between powerful corporations and members of the public who have to show that they need to exercise a right for purposes of accessing information. In terms of public bodies, as you'll see in our annual report, compliance levels have dropped even further. Certain Chapter 9 institutions are not even compliant with their duties in terms of PIAM, and local government remains endemically not compliant with the provisions of PIAM. In the Western Cape, it's okay, but there are a lot of municipalities that simply just don't comply with manual prescriptions, Section 32 reports, and so forth, and don't respond to requests. So the Commission sees this amendment bill as a welcome opportunity to reconsider the principles of transparency and accountability on which our Constitution is founded, and to amend PIAM more holistically. So as the Information Regulator has mentioned, there are many gaps in PIAM, and the Commission over the years have made several recommendations for the improvement and modernization of the PIAM in terms of Section 83.3 of PIAM, which provides the Commission with that power. So in terms of this amendment, it can also provide for PIAM to keep up and be fit for purpose in today's information age. And I know MMA mentioned the digital society we live in. We can't let the digital divide grow. So in terms of definitions, the Commission also suggests that political parties be read into a definition. In our submission, we say the definition of a public body, given the central role that political parties play in democracy as an engine of democracy. If they were to be included, members of the public could access information besides funding records, and it is their constitutional right to do so. No entity should be immune from the provisions of PIAM and obligations imposed by it. If political parties are to be included in definition of public or private body, then Section 15, which deals with proactive disclosure, could be expanded to reflect the provisions in current Chapter 2A of the Amendment Bill, to specifically also create a duty of proactive disclosure on funding records for political parties, but that other ad hoc requests can still be made to political parties using the other provisions of PIAM. Furthermore, in terms of the availability, as other NGOs have stated, the information should also be made available on the website for those who lack access to social media. And considering that over half the population lacks access to internet, the hard copy should maybe be made available at principal premises, if any. Then, given the recent controversy here in Parliament about internal party contests, where our President, President Ramaphosa, urged Parliament to consider whether internal political party campaigns should also be subject to disclosure. So just as in My Vote Counts, both the first and the second Constitutional Court judgments, it was recognized that donations are often made with an ulterior motive or purpose. The same would apply for internal party contests. And it's the Commission's view that these internal party contests should also be regulated, and that the public has a right of access to this information to know who specifically they're governed for and what interests might be looked out for. Then, in terms of 83.3 of PIAM, we reiterate some of the recommendations we've made over the past 20 years, one being that failure to comply with Section 14, which is the manual provision, is an offence, but failure to comply with Section 32 isn't. And you will note from the report we table on the 30th of September that there's just systemic, widespread non-compliance with Section 32. We've also noted that there's no provision made for auditing the veracity of Section 32 reports. And we urge that when the Information Regulator gets these enforcement powers, that they also enjoy the powers to audit Section 32 reports and have resources to be able to do that with. Then proactive disclosure provisions should be expanded to be a provision for a government open access portal. This type of suggestion or recommendation is also reflected in the Human Rights Commission's mining report that was launched last year, August. And then Section 32 should also be amended so that public bodies must show on what specific grounds for refusal they rely on in denying requests, especially considering that most requests are deemed refusals. Then we see that Section 46, the public interest override, sets way too high of a threshold, and the word and between the two subsections should be replaced with the word or. Finally, the Commission is of the view that Sections 22, 25, and 26 that prescribe the 30-day notice period should be clarified to indicate that this period cannot be deviated from under any circumstances, and where interests or rights such as liberty are involved, procedures should be brought in for more urgent or expedited disclosure of information. The Commission is of the view that these recommendations and the other recommendations that have made over the past 19 years would substantially improve and modernize PAYA and make sure that it keeps up with the information age and the coming fourth industrial revolution. Thank you very much, and the Commission looks forward to engaging again at the end of the month.
Thank you. Honourable members, that is the presentation from the Human Rights Commission. Are there any comments or questions from the members? Honourable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's the same question asked before this morning, which turns on the proposal that other information of political parties should also be accessible to the public. And I mean, once again, the question is this: political parties are voluntary associations. Our case law says you have to become a member to have what we call a proprietary interest. Constitutions ordinarily would say you become a member, then a member of a branch, and there's a hierarchy within a political party which enables members to take part in decision making. How do we strike that balance of it being a private voluntary association by its very nature as a political party not performing any public powers or functions, but aiming to obtain governmental power through elections? And how can we equate that to a right of information of members voting, the voting public who choose not to become members of a political party? Thank you.
This is the only question. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Member. So, as mentioned at the beginning, the Constitution is founded on the foundational values of openness, accountability, and responsiveness. So the balance already is skewed in favor of the free flow of information and transparency across the board. The Constitution furthermore recognizes in contradiction to other jurisdictions, like, for example, India, that private voluntary associations or juristic persons can wield real power that have a real impact on people's human rights. And for that reason, it's not dependent on membership whether a member of the public has an interest in information held by even a private body, if we regard political parties as private bodies. So in terms of the constitutional right of access to information, one must then show that the information is necessary for the exercise or protection of any right. That information might, for example, persuade someone to become a member of a political party or may persuade them to vote for a different political party. So I think the right to vote would always be implicated where a member of the public requires information held by a political party. Also, once the political party does attain power, one needs to be able to, just as with normal donor funding, to know if there are any nefarious or ulterior motive negotiations or decision-making going on behind closed doors, and to also eliminate uncertainty, as we've seen, for example, with questions of the Reserve Bank and so forth, and to actually know what what transpired. And then we also refer to the Constitutional Court judgment of Ramakatsa, where the court did recognize that political parties are vital to democracy, and even if they are not organs of state and not directly exercising public functions, they are instrumental in realizing the right to vote, in making sure that the public is informed about policy issues and agendas, and indeed in contributing to the very foundations of our society, which is a democratic constitutional order.
Thank you very much. We have come to the end of the public hearings. We will process the bill when we come back from the constituency period after the BRRR report processes. So we'll start processing the bill. We aim to pass the bill in the National Assembly before we adjourn. That is our aim. Thank you very much, honorable members. The House is adjourned. Oh, sorry, before, there is an invitation from the Chief Justice of the Republic of South Africa to the committee to attend the annual report on the 3rd of October 2019. At the Constitutional Court. The Portfolio Committee Chairperson and members of the committee are invited to that annual report presentation by the Chief Justice. I think the committee secretariat will advise us of the logistics of attending that annual report presentation. It's when the Chief Justice releases the annual report and accounting to the public. So some of us would be already in Gauteng. So, but we'll have to think about members who are not from Gauteng. I think the committee secretary can assist us with that. So those members that are not from Gauteng would contact the committee secretariat if they so wish to attend the annual report. So I think myself, Honorable Chele, Honorable Glenis, we are covered. Okay. Thank you very much.